Today, the title of the message is Submission. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, would you stand as we read from God's Word? Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another. Be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. So glad to have my son Adam and his wife Merritt in services today. Adam, would you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated. Wonderful subject today, and we're going to start with a statement so that we all get on the right mindset, right? The word submission is not an ugly word. It's a word we don't like to talk about. It's a word that we actually don't like to execute, but it's not a bad word. As a matter of fact, it is a beautiful thing when it's applied biblically. The problem with submission is you're the only one that can do it. I can't make you submit and you can't make me submit. But when God's people are in submission to one another and into, most importantly, submission under God, God can do awesome things. So today we start with the summons that we're given in 1 Peter to submit. And that summons begins with the statement, younger people. Those of us who are young, it's talking to us, right? Younger people, submit to your elders. Now, the word submit, as I said, it's not an ugly word. It's not a bad word. It's simply the willingness that you should have to obey or follow the instruction or direction of someone else. And this was given, all this is originally written concerning church leadership. Right? If you're going to be an elder in the church, if you're going to be an effective elder, you're going to have to, or people are going to have to follow you. It's hard to lead if people don't follow, right? However, this concept applies to every aspect of life. Submission. The concept of submission. And it especially applies, or we're just starting, with the younger generation. Why should younger people submit to older people? Well, I'm glad you asked. The reason you should submit to older people is one word. Experience. If you're going to have surgery, you've got a doctor lined out and you've got a disease and life-saving surgery is required, how many of you want to be the first one that a doctor operates on? Would you raise your hand? Me too. Then why would you want to face anything in life having no knowledge of ever having been there and done that? When I say that the older generation have experience, they do have experience. And the reason they have is because they've lived so long. They're so very valuable because they've been there and done that. They've made good decisions, and they've reaped the benefit of those good decisions. They have made bad decisions, and they have reaped the consequences of those bad decisions. You know? So when you look around, don't just see gray hair that you think, oh, they're old and out of touch. They're not with it, right? Every generation seems to think that this generation is more complex than the generation before. As a matter of fact, the older generation, they don't get us, or they don't understand what we're going through. They don't get it. I want to give you something. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 verse 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 verse 9 will tell you that there's nothing going on today that hadn't been going on since the beginning of time. Okay? Ecclesiastes chapter 1 verse 9 says, "That which has been is what will be. And that which is done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It's already been of old time, which was before us." We kind of make today's generation as being the generation that faces challenges that have never been faced before. And I don't necessarily think it's a real good thing to convince the generation of today that they are unique and facing problems bigger than anybody's ever faced, because they're not. As a matter of fact, they've had it pretty good. Most of this generation today has been supported by mom and dad all the way up through high school and college. And they've always got mom and dad to run back to, which is okay. But never get to thinking, if you're of the younger generation, that you have it really, really hard. I used to hear the old-timers talking about their grandpas crossing this country in a covered wagon. That's hard times. I saw the generation before me who, if they ate because they grew it or raised it. Because they had no money. That's tough times. So I want you to understand that we can't say, "Oh, we've got it so bad today." No, we've got it really, really good. We just face the same challenges that has been being faced forever. Turn on the news. Murder's a problem, right? Talk about Chicago. And I heard the other day how many murders there are in Chicago a day. You know that's nothing new. Come straight out from the Garden of Eden. Cain killed his brother Abel. That's murder. And it blew up from there. 6,000 years ago. It's always been. Adultery, unfaithfulness in marriage. Nothing new. Remember David and Bathsheba? Homosexuality. Oh, that's just, it's nothing new. You see, here's what we have to understand. We're fighting the same problems today that they were fighting the generation before us and the generation before that and the generation before that. So when you look around and you see the gray hair today, don't look at it as somebody who's out of touch. You look at them as a valuable asset to be taken advantage of. Their experience and their knowledge. But you know, this is not just about young people submitting to the older people. In the text, it actually says, all of you be submissive to one another. Submission is not just for younger people. We're all commanded to submit to each other. Why? Because we're surrounded by valuable experience. Think about it. Right? I submit to others all the time. You know, we were talking, had a staff meeting last week, and I was talking to the other guys, and I'm kind of the old guy there. And I think like a 60-year-old. And so I was questioning our staff members of, how does a 25-year-old think? How do I relate to the 25 and the 30-year-old? Because I know there's a difference, right? What did I do? I submitted to their knowledge. Just because, and if you're old, and you look at younger people, you think, well, just because they're young, they don't have a clue. No. You just wait till you need somebody to program your phone. Point being this, we need one another. And each individual is a valuable asset regardless of his age. He may be 25. He may be 95. But if he still has breath in his lungs, God has him here for a specific purpose, and that purpose should be used for God's glory. Never dismiss anyone because they're old. Never dismiss anyone because they're young. You look at them and realize they can save you a lot of trouble if we just realize we don't know everything. Right? We need one another. That's the idea. You know, I submit to our people throughout this church, when we go into a building program, I'm not a building expert, so I submit. I submit to those who take care of our children's department because they know children better than I do. And if they don't, they might bring them in here and turn them loose on us. In all seriousness, I think the submission idea is just an appreciation for God's people. Everybody has a purpose and can be used of God, and we're to view one another that way. So how do you develop this submissive attitude? Well, let's talk about the steps to submission. That's what Peter did in the text that we read. He said, clothe yourself with humility. That word clothe, it means just like just what it says. The idea of you got up this morning, you clothed yourself. But actually, it was also a term used by slaves. And it meant to put on an apron. And you apron yourself. Now, why do you put on an apron? So you don't get your clothes dirty, right? You put on your apron, you're ready to go to work. You're ready to get with it. So we apron ourselves or clothe ourselves in humility. That's where the slave part comes in, right? Lowliness of mind. And it's having the attitude of a slave. And the idea of this is you're there to serve. Now, if you're going to submit and have this idea of submission, you're going to have to understand you're here to serve, not to dominate. Right? And that idea in that day, Peter's writing, was not popular. It would say, why would you want to belittle yourself? It's not belittling. It is being used by God or placing yourself in a position to be used by God. You know, there's some people you go up to, you don't mind asking for their help. And there's others you go up to, you don't even ask their help because you know you're not going to get it. Why don't you get it? Because they're going to think, oh, I don't do that. Have you ever seen somebody that was too good to do something? I want to tell you something. None of us are too good to do anything. Amen? None of us. You see, we have to lower our opinion of ourselves. And to do that, step two in working to bring ourselves under submission, you got to deal with your pride. You got to deal with your pride. Pride's a problem. You know? Pride is a problem. You know what pride is? Just an elevated opinion of yourself. How does God feel about pride? He hates it. I'm going to say that again. God hates pride. Why? Because it gets in the way of being used by God. Very simply. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16, I want to share with you. It says, these six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to Him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift to running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. These are seven things that the Bible says God hates. You know what it means to hate something, right? If you know what hate means, raise your hand. You ever think of God hating something? God hates these seven things. And in this list, at the top of that list is what? Pride. A proud look. That's number one on the list. And the reason is because it gets in the way. Too many Christians say, well, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to sing in the choir. I'm not going to teach class. I'm not going to go to church every time the doors are open. I'm not going to... And you can fill in the blank. And what you're saying is, I'm going to do what I want to do. And when that's our attitude, it's an attitude of pride, and it will stop God in His tracks from using you. As a matter of fact, let's look at how God responds to pride. It says God resists the proud. Let me ask you, how does God feel about you? You ask yourself that question. How does God feel about you? Well, if you're proud, here's how God feels about you. And here's how God will respond to you. It says, God resists the proud. That word resist, it literally means to fight against. I want you to think of the profound nature of this statement of God opposing and fighting against someone. Here's the deal. Sometimes believers get into trouble. And we think, oh, I'm being attacked by the devil because my life is not going right. Do you ever stop and think that it might not be the devil that you're fighting, but it just might be God? I know Christians everywhere, we like to believe that we're always in the right and God's always on our side, but that's not what this says. It says God opposes the proud. He fights against the proud. I've seen Christians time and time again ask me, Brother Doug, I just don't understand. It's one thing after another. It's, you know, I get one thing settled and here comes another and another and another. Most often it's pride. It's that getting in that self, I, me mentality that gets in the way. And God's trying to knock that pride out of the way. Trying to get rid of it. It's sad to think of being in that position that God can do nothing with because of pride. But here's the good news. The good news says that God gives grace to the humble. The word grace, of course, is kindness. It's God's favor. It's God's mercy. It's God's provision. It's God's goodwill. Now let me ask you, where do you find yourself? Do you find yourself on that side of pride where you say, God, I'm not going to do this? Or do you find yourself, God, hear my sin me. I am your servant. You command me. I'll do whatever you say. That's the person that receives the grace and the goodness of God. I'll tell you what, that doesn't mean it's always easy. Think of Paul's Paul's thorn in the flesh. You look at it, Paul said, I had a thorn in the flesh, a messenger from Satan that was sent to buffet me. That word buffet, it means to beat. So Paul was getting up every day. It was like being beaten every day. And Paul prayed. He said, God, remove this thorn. Said he prayed three times. And for 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, God responded to the prayer. God said, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I most gladly will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. God didn't fix the problem. But He supplied the grace that was needed to endure the problem. Isn't that cool? Isn't that the way? Isn't that what you want? Can you imagine being in that position where daily you were attacked by Satan and and there is no grace, check your pride at the door. Then finally we get to the sentiment toward the submissive. That how God really feels about you when you're submissive. We're told to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God so that in due time He will exalt you. See, wherever you are, whatever you're going through, here's what you have to know as a believer. You don't have to fix it. And I'm going to say this again because we've got some fixers here today. Some people that's got to fix everything. Or, you know what I'm talking about? They think it's their responsibility. If it's wrong in their life, they got to fix it. If it's wrong in their kids' life, they got to fix it. If there's wrong in their friend's life, they're the fixer. Oh, here's the good stuff. Okay? You don't have to fix everything. Because in most cases, you cannot fix anything. See, when you're going through difficulty, when you're fighting the fight of life, and the reality is there's not a lot you can do. And I'm going to give you even a bigger reality. You cannot fix family and friends. I made the comment, I was so glad to see my son Adam and his wife Merritt in services with us today. Love to have my children. And I love them so much. But as a parent, I have learned that it's not my job to fix them. If I didn't do it before they got married, I can't do it now, right? I tell you that to give you the understanding that, not that I need to fix them, but to give you the understanding that it's not our job to fix. It's God's job. That's why this He gives grace to the humble comes in. It's where gives grace to the humble comes in. You see, I can't fix me. I can't fix my friend. But I can humble myself before the mighty hand of God. And I can pray, God, provide the grace that I need. God, help me through this difficult situation. I can approach these challenges on my knees instead of, you know, spreading out my chest and saying, I can do this. No. The humility is when we depend on God to fix ourselves. And even God to fix our friends and our family. You know, I said it's not my job to fix my children. But it's sure my job to pray for my children. Because I know the God that can provide my children with everything they need. And my children will never outgrow my God. Isn't that cool? God provides grace to the humble. You see, you have to understand. We think just because we're going through problems that it's wrong. A lot of times we go through these problems as a growing opportunity. Romans chapter 5 verse 3 says, not only that, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Here's why we have to humble ourselves, because we're not too good to go through this. How many times have we thought, it'll never happen to me? Yeah, hang on and wait. It probably will. But the good news is God is always working, and He has us where we are for a reason. And that is to grow us. When we realize it's not about what we accomplish, but what we allow God to accomplish through us, that's the submission we're talking about here. You see, it's a matter of trust. I said you can't fix yourself, you can't fix people. Only God can do that. When you're going through these issues, that if a submissive heart will bow before God and say, God, I don't understand, but I trust You. I don't understand why I'm going through it, but I trust you. I don't understand why my kids are going through this, but Lord, I trust you. That, my friends, is true submission. And here's the why. He says, cast your cares on Him. Because, why? He cares for you. Cast your cares on Him because He cares for you. Here's again where submission is important. It's not your job to fix it. It's God's job to provide the grace you need to get through it. So what do? You cast your care upon God because He cares. Here's something everybody needs to know, and it's the closing thought. I want you to understand this. If you truly understand this, you're not going to have a problem with submitting. You're not going to have a problem with submission to other people. You're not going to have a problem with submission to God if you realize this one fact. Are you ready? Are you ready? You are important to God. That's why you submit. See, God's not this big guy up in heaven waiting to whack you in the head because you've taken a bad step. God truly cares. And when you understand that someone truly cares, you are much more likely to say, yes, Lord, I give you my life. Yes, Lord, I'll go where you call me. Yes, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. And isn't that the idea of submission when it says, you know, submit to God? That's the idea. It's a matter of trust, understanding that He really does care. And He's working all things together for good to those that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. God, I trust you. That's what submission is about. You may be here. And all I can, you know, I want you to understand, submission is not an ugly thing. It's a beautiful thing when you understand submission. It's not a matter of being beaten into submission and making somebody do what they want you to do or you having to do something you don't want to. That's not what submission is. Submission, when we're looking at it from the point of the view of the Bible, is when you understand God really does love me. Therefore, I'm going to serve Him. You know, we started out with a statement of young people. Submit to your elders. If you're a child, you have to understand your parents tell you what to do, not because they're bossing you, but because you're important to them and they really do care for you. That's why parents do what they do. That's why the commandment of submission is in the Bible. When the husband, when we're told, you know, wives submit to your husbands, the concept is the husband's the boss. No. The concept is she can surrender herself to her husband because she knows that she's important to him. And that whatever he does, he's going to look out for her good. Submission's a beautiful thing. Have you experienced it? You may be here today and you've never submitted to God for salvation. Listen, I want to understand this. Salvation is not about walking down an aisle. Salvation is not about going to a church. Salvation is about entering into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's about understanding that Jesus, you were so important to Jesus that He went to the cross of Calvary to pay for your sins. Because He loved you. And it's about surrendering to Jesus. Because of what He did, and you understand you're important to Jesus. That's what it's about. See, today, the Bible says today's the day of salvation. Today He's brought you here to give you a chance to be saved. To give you that opportunity to call on Him. And we're going to have a verse of invitation in just a moment. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've never entered that personal relationship, I'm going to ask you to come and let me share with you what you can do to be saved. Maybe you're here today and you're saved, but there's no submission. Why are you fighting against God? Why don't you back up and realize He loves you, you're important to Him? Lord, I surrender to You. Whatever your spiritual need is today, most likely it will start with submission. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You, Lord, for the opportunity to learn of You and to grow in You. And now, Lord, I pray that You'd help us to understand submission. It's not about being beaten down and abused, but rather it's about understanding how You truly feel about us. Father, thank You. Thank You, Lord, for loving us. Thank You, Lord, for Your presence. Thank You, Lord, for Your daily provision. And Father, I pray now as we come to this invitation, this is Your invitation. I pray that Your will be done. Give us hearts to respond. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.